This is the Faraway Farm Boy podcast, episode number 11. My guest today is an accountant at MNP. He knows a great deal about the ins and outs of dairy management and has a lot of experience in the dairy industry. He's well known in Alberta for his dairy accounting and management expertise. Please welcome Marvin Slingerland. Marvin, welcome to the podcast. How are you?
Pretty good, Dustin. Yourself?
Not too bad. Explain to our listeners what you do on a day-to-day basis.
So I guess a little background on myself first, Dustin. I was born and raised in Fort McLeod area. Grew up on a feedlot for the first 8 years of my life, then grew up in town. So after high school, I didn't really have a clue what to do with my, what direction I was going. So I started working on a dairy farm and in Southern Alberta. So I worked on the farm for 16 years as herdsman.
For who?
For Eddie Vandenberg Dairy.
Okay, yeah.
So yeah. Now it's run by his son under Lakeview Dairy.
Okay.
So it was a great 16 years, learned lots, loved working with animals. And sooner or later, Eddie's kids were getting older.
Right.
So
yeah.
I was looking to do something different. And yeah. I always liked the business side of the dairy. Working with the numbers, looking at profitability,
yeah.
production. So yeah. I started taking business courses and ended up here at MNP getting my chartered accountant.
Okay.
So right now my day-to-day life, working a lot with dairy farmers across Western Canada.
Right. You're kind of known as the dairy specialist, right?
One of the dairy specialists. We have
at
a few.
At MNP, okay.
Yeah. We have a few in our firm across the country in different dairy regions who specialize in dairy farms.
Okay, yeah. So you'll do a bunch of meetings every day type of thing, just meeting with farmers and more succession type stuff or just day-to-day stuff
it's
with the farmer?
It's a mix of everything, Dustin. So some of it is compliance work, just annual financial statements for dairy farmers, corporate tax returns.
Right.
The fun stuff is when we get into talking about cost of production, how do mm-hmm. I improve profitability on my farm?
Oh, I should have looked at those numbers before I came here.
Yeah. You missed your chance.
Yeah. What do you see as a pretty common problem that farmers come to you with?
I think the most common, it's not really a problem, it's more
challenge. We don't say
challenge.
Problem, we say
it's a,
challenge.
It's a challenge. So what's happened in the last 5 years in the dairy industry, there's been, obviously in like 15, 16, 17, there's been significant growth
right.
With quota.
Mm-hmm.
So there's lots of opportunities for producers in, especially 2016, 17. People started looking at their business and saying, let's do this expansion. Let's build a new barn.
Right.
And a lot of investment was happening on dairy farms and capital improvements or expansion. Mm-hmm. And then 2018 came, milk price dropped, feed prices high,
mm-hmm.
and margins got really slim. Interest rates also went up in 2018. So now producers were in a situation where there was a lot of cash flow problems.
Mm-hmm.
And
they had those big barns put up.
Yeah, exactly. And bills to pay.
Mm.
And no cash flow. So it's really looking, taking a step back and say, okay, this is my structure. How do I optimize this now? Like what margin do I need out of my dairy cows to help pay all the bills?
Right.
So it's been a...
And how have guys responded to that? Because, I mean, you can't just leave your milk machine on the cow longer. Like, they've
no,
gotten
so,
more efficient, you'd like to say, right?
Yeah. So it's really looking at if your barn's capped out, are you? Do you have the most efficient animals in your barn?
Right.
Are you optimizing the highest?
So you really go down to that nitty-gritty.
Yeah, it's more
detail.
The conversation. Like, if you're sitting here at a high level, what can we do to help you get to the next level?
Right.
And it's really trying to link the business side, financial side to production. And it's having that conversation.
Yeah.
We're not production experts.
Right.
You guys as the farmer understand production.
Hopefully, yeah.
And we understand the business financial side.
Yeah.
And it's trying to link those two. Whatever you do in the barn on a day-to-day basis impacts your gross margin.
For sure, yeah.
So what can you do to make it better?
And what have you found that guys are doing?
It's a lot of, like, if we bring the awareness, so guys are looking at, okay, so we have these 100 cows in the barn. Mm-hmm. Are these 100 most profitable cows in the barn?
Right.
Like, you might go through your DHI data and say, these are the bottom 10% of my herd.
Yeah.
They might be nice looking cows and they always bring a heifer calf, but they're actually are not profitable cows.
Right. Yeah.
On a milk component basis.
Yeah, for sure. Would you say that's been a lot more prevalent? Like guys really coming to their accountants for advice and really getting, nitpicky about what goes on. Like, I find that more people are worrying about their cost of production nowadays than, 10 years ago.
That's a fair observation. And I think it's driven by, I think two things. Obviously, cost of production is higher. Margins have dropped.
Margins are thinner than they were 10 years ago?
Yeah. And you need to be a smart operator, both productive-wise and business-wise, in order to stay in the industry. And it's also driven by succession. So if you want to pass your farm on to the next generation, it needs to be a profitable farm. Right. If the farm is just supporting one family right now, right, and you want to pass it on to your son or daughter, you need to drive enough profit and margin for the son to buy you out, or the daughter, and also to help pay for your retirement.
Right. What's the most common challenge you see with succession planning?
Aside from profitability, it's really communication. The biggest frustration with young producers, if they're not involved in the operation yet, is the unknown. They don't know what the plan is for dad to pass the dairy on.
Right.
Where is it going? When will it happen?
Probably worried about the profitability of the farm to some extent too, with these kind of changing margins, right?
Exactly. And they also, the younger generation brings the ambition to expand.
Right.
So they also want their input on that. So the dairy industry is not too bad from a succession point of view. Other sectors, whether it's cow-calf or grain, there's a little bit less communication.
I thought you meant profitability, like as far as passing it on, farms are always profitable, so they always have good succession plans. But that's not the case? Or?
No, it's really a mix. You need a profitable farm in order to pass it on.
Right.
And you need to have the younger generation, some sort of a plan for them to, they understand where they're sitting.
But communication is worse in other sectors of agriculture. Okay. Yeah. Huh. Interesting. And what else do you guys offer here at M&P?
So aside from compliance work, we're hoping to roll out a dairy dashboard here within the next 3 months. So it's basically a gross margin dashboard that will compare your farm to other producers on a monthly basis.
Oh.
So the goal is we sit down with our clients, Dustin, you come in here, we figure out your past 12-month rolling average on a gross margin.
Yeah.
So milk revenue, less feed cost, less vet cost, less your milk board deductions.
Right.
And we figure out your 12-month rolling average. Then we set a target for the next 12 months.
Okay.
So we'll go, Dustin, you owe the bank $100,000 every year for principal payments.
Right.
You pay land, build, and finance expenses of, and that's like insurance, repairs on buildings,
right,
depreciation on buildings of $200,000 a year. You pay labor, power, machinery expenses every year of another $200,000. So that's labor, fuel, the cost of running the farm.
Right.
So now you need $500,000 of margin in order to pay all those expenses.
Right.
And now let's sit down and figure out, you have quota of X. What do we need to drive margin of 500,000?
Right.
So we set a budget for the year and and a monthly budget for that margin.
Yep.
And then we'll track that with your milk statement, feed costs, and you can see sort of where you're sitting every month.
And who's behind that? Are you behind that mostly? Or? Yes. Because you've been talking about like gross margins on farm for a while. And
yeah.
Been kind of...
So it's been sort of a firm initiative.
Yeah, okay.
And it's linking that production to margin. So if you make changes in your barn to increase your milk production.
Yeah.
If you can track it to make sure you're going in the right direction.
Absolutely.
That's sort of the goal.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's easier to make changes. So if you're 2 months in or 3 months in and you're way behind, you need to make that change now rather than 4 months after your year end when you finally get your statements from the accountant.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you had a sucky year. If you knew that 8 months earlier, you could have made a change perhaps.
Yeah. Important stuff. Like when people ask, like, you know, what should I do to prepare for farming, or, you know, I want to be in agriculture in some capacity, I always tell them, like, go for accounting or something. Like, the rest you can learn mostly on the job, but just take some accounting courses or something.
Yeah, the business side is critical. But
of course, not everyone's going to be, you know, on the management side.
It's knowing your skill. If your skill is in breeding, production, or just managing the farm.
Right.
As long as you surround yourself with people to complement your weaknesses.
Sure.
Or help bolster your operation. That identification of your weaknesses is probably the key.
Do you see some of that in people that come in that maybe don't do some of the management stuff? They you know, part it out type of thing?
Yeah. So we're seeing more and more of that, where, especially with the younger generation, everybody's busy, whether it's personal life or on the dairy. There's only so much time in a day.
Yeah.
And you can't do everything yourself anymore. So right. People are relying on us to do a lot more with the business side. But what we're also seeing with some of the larger operations is ownership / management has taken more of a approach where we need to look at our business. So let's sit down every 2 months or once a quarter,
right,
with our bank, with our accountant as a team, and figure out, are we on the right direction, or what other opportunities should we look at?
Yeah.
So that's a shift that we see happening, with some of the larger operations, is they're stepping back and they're relying and getting input from a sounding board.
Great. You gave a presentation a while back on, it was some of the best things, like the best part of, I guess what I'm trying to say is the best gross margin in agriculture. And it was between a couple different sectors. It was between dairy and poultry and, remember what
that
was about?
So basically every year with our client base, we pull the gross margin from whether it's a poultry operation, layer operation, turkeys, dairy, hogs.
Right.
And we say which operation actually has the best gross margin / or return on investment.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Surprisingly, do you still remember which one is the highest?
Well, I picked broiler breeder because I thought, well, and it's something I know nothing about. Yeah. So I was like, well, there's no work in broiler breeder, you know, poultry, so it must be that, right? And I know dairy's a lot of work, so the gross margin's got to be way lower.
Yeah.
But it was pigs, I think, right?
Yeah, so the hog sector was the highest in, I think that was in 2018 or 17, I can't remember.
Well, that was one of the growth years for dairy, so that's interesting too.
But of the supply managed group, dairy farms have the highest return on investment.
Okay. Different than gross margin.
Yeah, so return on investment. So if you bought a new barn bought new quota. Basically, we look at your income over the cost of investment. So a dairy will give you anywhere from a 4 to 8% return a year, whereas the other supply managed sectors like broiler, turkeys, layers, they're in that 2 to 3% return.
Is that right?
Yeah. And if you really think about it, you give the answer yourself. Is dairy was a lot of work. So the opportunity for a good dairy manager with management skills and knowing your herd, you have such a higher chance of outpacing your group average.
Because you said 4 to 8, so it can literally double.
Yeah.
Wow.
Whereas in a broiler barn, basically the only thing as a manager you have to do is make sure your feed is good, which the feed nutritionist does, and make sure the humidity and temperature in the barn is good.
Huh.
So there's very little management activities in a
broiler
barn, whereas in a dairy barn, there's so many factors that influence your profitability.
What a good incentive to be a good manager. Like, if you can double, what the rest of your peer group is doing.
Yeah. And we see that, like, on a 200 cow dairy farm, net income can be double.
Wow.
If not more than the peer group.
So why was it that the gross margin for pork was so much higher than dairy, even in one of dairy's best years?
So it goes back to risk and reward. So once we start looking into the crop, hog, cattle sectors, there's so many more market risks. So the return on a good year, the return is generally higher. But you can also have years where it's a lot lower. Supply managed sector, a lot of the market volatility is taken out and it relies on management skill.
Right.
So it's a very low return but steady. Whereas the other sectors have a higher volatility but more market opportunity.
Right.
Well.
So that was the seventh year with pigs. It goes on 7 year cycles, right or not?
Yeah.
Oh, so that was their one good year.
Yeah.
Well, I guess last year wasn't too bad either, was it?
No, last year was pretty good for the hog market as well. But yeah, it's all about managing your risks and operations, no matter what type of farm.
But the, I guess the assets would be bigger with dairy type of thing because of land and facilities and that type of thing?
Yeah, so your capital investment is higher.
Right.
As well, yeah. So the key with, if you look at that 4 to 8% on a dairy farm, if you're in that upper 25%, you're the farm that's taking advantage of the quota that comes on the market.
Yeah.
You're the farm that can afford to make that next step and buy that additional piece of land or buy the additional quota. And with the supply management, if you look at the trend across the country over the last 30 years, the number of farms is shrinking.
Right.
And the farms that are selling generally are the ones that...
Poorly managed farms? Or?
Not poorly managed, but they just aren't at that spot to make the next jump. And it's easier to sell than to compete.
Yeah, making those jumps that costs a lot of money. Going from... Like, what would you say is the biggest jump? I mean, starting out is obviously a huge one, but going from 200 to 300 or something like that? Or what number of cows would you say is the biggest jump and the biggest hurt to your cash flow?
That's a tough question. I would say just my gut feel says anytime you're making a huge capital investment, i.e. new barn or a huge barn expansion,
right. Along
with new quota, those are the big hurdles.
I mean, the quota usually pays for itself, but the two combined, you're saying?
Yeah, the two combined makes it really tough.
Hmm.
So unless you have enough equity built up on your farm that you can stretch out that barn and quota over 25 years, it may work. But if you're making those two investments together, you need a well-thought-out plan before you make that leap because it will catch you.
Is that right?
Yeah. So I would almost say if you look at Southern Alberta, where there's been a lot of 100 cow dairies.
Yep.
Making that jump from a 100 cow to a 160, 180, 200 cow is
which is pretty common with succession, right?
Yeah. That's a hard jump.
Huh.
And what? If you overbuild on the barn.
Right.
It's hard. Like once you go sideways on the dairy farm,
hard to catch, get out.
It's hard to get out. It's a struggle for years.
Can relate. When's the best time to expand then? I mean, if we're not in a growth year for dairy, obviously it's not a growth year really for any egg sector, but just kind of wait it out. What would you say? Or is now the time to strike?
So to me, you can expand in, I think farms should always expand or get better or bigger. And to me, it's either expanded by buying additional quota, but the other expansion is probably not the right term, but it's getting more efficient on your farm. So if you're constrained in your barn with your herd, look at efficiencies within that. Instead of milking 70 cows to fill your quota, look at how can I do this with 60 cows.
Yeah.
Those are the levers that you need to have in place before you make that next jump, because that will give you the ability then to buy the more quota and put 10 more cows in your barn with more quota instead of building a new barn and milking the same number of cows.
What about side businesses? Is that something that you would kind of encourage as opposed to, let's say you're kind of semi at the peak of your efficiency in your barn, you figure, is it time to invest in a side business or keep everything on the farm? Diversify your portfolio?
So it's really, as long as what you're doing. So there's been some great side businesses or other ventures started by people. But as long as it's not taken away from the management of your existing operation, it will work. Honestly, some of our most profitable dairy farms across Alberta, all the owner does is manage the milk and herd. All the crop work, everything is custom done.
Is that right?
And they're very successful, profitable farms.
How big are those farms, just out of interest?
They can be anywhere from 100 to 400 cows.
So they could potentially justify having some of their own machinery, but they stay away from that type of thing?
Yeah. And some, interesting, they've got to the point where, okay, now we can bring on a machinery line and we might do a little bit of extra work. But honestly, the core focus of their business has been the dairy, which has generated the cash flow and the profits. Instead of doing 2/3 job in the dairy barn and 2/3 on the crop side.
Do those farms sell genetics too? Or, cause I mean, that can be hit or miss. Is like you can just, win the lottery as far as selling some, cow or whatever, right? Or are they just across the board, just efficient producers? Just
mostly efficient
producers. Okay.
And I can't remember if you were at that presentation. If we look at the most profitable dairy farms in Alberta, in our client base, most of them would preach longevity.
Oh, of cows?
Of cows.
Okay.
And because of longevity, they've been able to sell a lot of young stock on the side because they don't need the replacements.
Okay.
And it's that additional cash flow
that's
really valuable to a dairy operation. So they preach high producing cows. So let's get the most butterfat out of the least number of cows and longevity. And because of that, they can sell a lot of young stock and that adds up to a significant amount of revenue. And then you can start calling your young stock as well.
Right.
Based on, you can keep the high genomic young stock or you can breed your lower end herd to beef bulls.
So just that management
that's
so critical. And what about staying away from, like you're saying, some of the most efficient farms custom work, you know, they do everything custom work. Is that like a huge thing with poorly managed farms that they're investing in equipment too early in their expansion phases? And
I wouldn't say poorly managed farms. What will catch you on a dairy farm is if you're overinvested in equipment, because the cost of owning equipment, maintaining equipment, having labor to run equipment is a significant cost. And as margins shrink and you're not managing that next bucket of expenses with the cost of running the farm, those two will catch up to you.
What about buying equipment, let's say essential equipment, brand new versus just from the point of view of having that cash available instead of, let's say, paying for that tractor through shop repairs, right? Buying a used one versus a new one.
It
kind of depends? Or
it really depends. It's roll the dice.
Is that right? Well, if you can get away with a cheaper one and not have those shop repairs, obviously.
Yeah. So we've done some calculations. Like, we have a sort of a tool where we can put in the cost of the new piece of equipment versus the cost of your existing piece,
right,
including repair costs. And we can sort of do like a cash flow projection for the next 5 years. Like, what's going to be the cheapest piece of equipment to...
Give that person a number. Like, this is what you should budget for.
Yeah.
Huh.
So it's really... And it all depends too. Because some pieces of equipment, like your feed truck, if you're fixing that...
Right.
Two times a week because there's breakdowns, that's one piece of equipment you can't really afford to have your mixer...
Right.
In the shop 2-3 days a week.
Yeah.
Screwing up your ration.
Can relate. Huh, interesting. What's next for M&P? You guys got the, what was it called? The dairy, the program?
Dairy Dashboard.
Dairy Dashboard. Okay, when's that coming online?
Hopefully, we're doing a soft trial right now.
Okay,
so hopefully
a few farms.
Yeah, hopefully within the next, early in the new year.
Okay.
For the rest, we've... as a firm, we've grown. Obviously, in Alberta, we have a huge market share. We have probably a 40-50% market share in Alberta, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, just under that in BC.
Okay.
We merged in. The most exciting thing, actually, is we merged in 6 regional firms in Ontario.
Okay.
And basically in all the dairy pockets. So we have a really good established base in Ontario now in the dairy industry.
And this, the dairy program, is it gonna take all those farms into account too? Is it gonna record all those, or
initially,
or is it provincially?
Initially, it's only Alberta, and we'll be rolling it out to every province.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's pretty exciting as a firm that we're basically the market leaders across Canada.
Yeah, for sure.
In the dairy industry now, so. Plus, we're doing a lot of work for, obviously, with the Canadian Dairy Commission. We do the cost of production study for Western Canada.
Right, yep.
And that's the study that helps set the price of milk for producers.
Yeah. Cool. Well, how can people reach you if they want to have you take a look at their numbers?
Well, they can... most people know me in the dairy industry, so...
Yeah, that's fine. You don't need to leave the number. Most people know me.
No, so you can, call me at my office number, Google my name.
Sure.
It'll pop up on M&P's website with contact info. Well,
thanks for coming on the podcast today.
You bet. Thanks, Dustin.
Take care.
You bet.
Thank you for listening to the Faraway Farm Boy podcast, episode number 11, with Marvin Slingerland at M&P. Join me again next week.